You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. I'm your host, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, OBGYN doc and proud sixth generation Wisconsinite, bracing myself for yet another election cycle in perhaps, I think it's the swingiest of all swing states, which by the way, are you registered to vote? No matter where you live or what your individual circumstances are, this is really important. You are definitely going to want to make sure 2026 is not the year to sit out, my friends. So check out vote.gov to register, double check, or sign up for mail-in ballots like I do, so I never miss an election. I don't have the excuse that I was too busy. I don't have the excuse that I don't know who the people at the bottom of the ballot are because I didn't do my research beforehand, because I've got the ballot right there so I can have my conversations, do my research, and make a really good, important choice because everybody on the ballot is important. So, yes, your vote does matter. Some of these races are decided by a vote or two. And where I live in cute little beer and cheese, Wisconsin, not only does every vote matter, but there's a lot at stake for the rest of the country. Wisconsin will play a pivotal role in the midterms and could very well swing the 2028 presidential election as well. Our governor, you might not know this, has the most powerful veto power in the country, which could sway redistricting, voting laws, abortion restrictions, and budget priorities in a state where redistricting, or where Republicans have controlled the legislature for the past 15 years because of aggressive gerrymandering. So whoever wins the governor's mansion doesn't just govern Wisconsin, it affects the whole rest of the country. Tony Evers, Wisconsin's current Democratic governor, used his veto pen over 100 times, sometimes very creatively, they call it the Frankenstein veto, to block Republican legislation. He protected abortion access, voting rights, and public education funding, but he's not running for re-election in 2026, and the race is wide open. Mandela Barnes wants that job. He's been close to it, serving as Evers' lieutenant governor from 2019 to 2023, making him Wisconsin's first Black lieutenant governor, and at the time, the country's youngest lieutenant governor. In 2022, he challenged Republican Senator Ron Johnson in a race that drew national attention and over $100 million in spending, and he lost by just about a percentage point after facing relentless, racially charged, ugly attacks on crime and policing. Now Barnes is running for governor. Republicans are already using the same playbook, and Wisconsin Democrats and the independents who decide our election are asking, can he win this time? What did he learn from 2022? And will he actually fight for the issues that matter to Wisconsinites? So, I don't know, why don't we just ask him? Because he's here. Mandela, welcome.
And thank you so much, Kristen. Thanks for having me. Really excited to join you. I've had a number of times to be able to be in conversation with you since the campaign started, but to be able to sit here on the show to make the case to your listeners, to your viewers, I'm really excited about this opportunity.
I am too. And I want to just start by, before we dive into the actual race itself, I want people to know who you are, because your backstory is very interesting. You grew up in Milwaukee. Your dad was a union auto worker. Your mom was a public school teacher. That's not the typical path to lieutenant governor. So walk me through how a kid from Milwaukee, I think you've called it the hardest zip code in the state, ends up making that journey.
For sure. I've, you know, told people all the time that my path is different than most that find themselves in politics, especially at this level. And I think that's also part of the problem with our politics. It's why things are so broken. Few people have the real world experience, have dealt with the significant challenges. And ultimately, you have folks, some people of sound mind and good heart who want to make a difference, but have maybe only read the studies, have maybe only anecdotal evidence, have heard things, seen things, but haven't necessarily experienced the challenges that people are dealing with. And that's ultimately what got me involved in the first place. And I was born in the 53206 zip code. That's our state's poorest. It's the nation's most incarcerated zip code. You know, there have been studies that challenge whether it's the most incarcerated or the fifth incarcerated. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of zip codes in this country. So whether you're first or fifth doesn't make much of a difference. And the fact is, my parents, as I've said before, if you've seen the commercials, again, my dad worked third shift on an assembly line. My mother was a public school teacher, but it was their sacrifice. It was the work that they put in. And I do remind people all the time that their employers gave them a job, but their unions is what gave them opportunity. And that was transferred to me. It meant that they were paid a living wage. It meant that they had money to retire on. It meant that if I were to get sick, they could take off work without fear of losing their job. And even before, you know, my dad, even before my mother, like I hardly ever talk about my grandfather who moved to Milwaukee after his service in World War II. And, you know, his opportunities, unfortunately, even though he served this country, weren't the same as some of his peers in the Navy because he didn't have access to the GI Bill. But he was able to move to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and get a family-sustaining job as a union steel worker at A.O. Smith. And that's a place where he worked for over 30 years. He was able to retire comfortably. And I think about people in my age group and people who are younger who don't have the same opportunities to enter the middle class, to be able to take care of a family. And it's deeply distressing. You have young people, Gen Zers, who are just incredibly fearful of AI taking away all their opportunities. All across the country, young people don't necessarily see a future for themselves, but we are going to fight to ensure that young people have a future in the state of Wisconsin. Things have to be done differently. We have to bring back opportunity. We have to ensure that hardworking people have access to the resources and the support that they have earned, that they have worked hard for. And as times have gotten incredibly challenging and difficult all across this country, the chaos that Donald Trump has brought about in one short year has been devastating to our small business owners, to our family farmers, to hardworking people in general, people who play by the rules, people who have done everything right and who have still continued to be left behind. While at the same time, Donald Trump and his family members, they haven't played by the rules at all. They've manipulated markets. They have done only the bidding that has benefited themselves, that has made them exponentially more wealthy, while a majority of Americans continue to suffer. People can't buy groceries. People are having a hard time paying utility bills. And it is going to be, it has already been a cold one. It's about to get even colder. And, you know, there are people who are going to question how high they're going to turn up the heat, or if they're going to turn up the heat.
Yeah.
You should never have to make that choice. Not in the most wealthy nation in the entire country. You have a guy that's on track to become a trillionaire in our lifetimes. A person who has completely destabilized the federal government on his way to becoming a trillionaire while people are still suffering. And what not just this campaign is about, what my whole life of service, be it as an organizer, be it as a state legislator, be it as lieutenant governor, has been about providing opportunity to those folks who have been left behind. I have been very open about my own personal experience, you know, as an adult on food stamps, on energy assistance, almost every program that was out there for folks. I know what it's like. I've experienced it before, and that's why I fight so hard for those people who've fallen on tough times. People aren't looking for a handout. They just want to know that relief is an option for them in times when they need it. And these are the same folks that we hope to be able to go on to get a good job and they pay tax and be able to help out their neighbors. And I won't rest until we see that reality.
I think you're so right. People aren't looking for a handout. They're looking for a hand up. And, you know, I grew up on food stamps also. And man, I wouldn't be here if that assistance wasn't there, if I didn't have people around me like you had your folks around you. So you were lieutenant governor from 2019 to 2023. For people who don't follow state politics closely, that's like a ribbon cutting kind of ceremonial position, but you tried to make it meaningful. How?
For sure. It was my goal to make sure that it was meaningful. And, you know, the position of lieutenant governor, it depends on your relationship with the governor. And that's why I'm proud to bring my experience in that role to this race. It's quite unique, actually. I had a great relationship with the governor. I was able to participate in two separate budget processes, to be able to not just advocate, you know, on a dollar and cents basis, but a basis of really ensuring that it was a moral document, prioritizing our young people, prioritizing children and families, prioritizing working people, prioritizing our family farmers. I also had a chance to travel this entire state, and having, you know, served in the legislature and been an organizer before that, I knew exactly what I would want to do in that role, fully understanding that it all comes down to the governor. But I made sure that we had a real partnership. And that's one of the things people appreciated about my time in that role. Also, during the campaign in 2018, is the governor and I worked very close and very well together. And we brought that. It was a breath of fresh air from what we had experienced with the previous governor, who sought to destabilize everything that made Wisconsin strong. But to that point, I was able to travel and take on initiatives of my own. I was able to chair our climate change task force. I was able to be a part of our rural prosperity initiatives and also lead the charge on the Badger Bounce Back, which put Wisconsin in one of the strongest positions post-pandemic, which, you know, is one of the most important opportunities that I had, because things were tough for folks and they could have been more difficult, but it took leadership, putting our nose to the grindstone, going around the state, listening to people, taking their input and putting that input into actual policy making. And that is the experience that I am bringing to this race. It's a very unique experience that I have had. I'm proud to say that I'm the most experienced candidate in this race seeking the office of governor. And I hope to use that experience that I had in that office also, again, as a lawmaker, to ensure that we do the hard work of lowering costs immediately. And that's why I've been so bullish on Badger Care expansion. We know in this country, universal health care is the, you know, is what we need to ensure that people get the care that they deserve. And while we wait for Congress to finally get that done in Wisconsin, we need to take an important first step, because we are one of 10 states that has yet to expand our Medicaid program under the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. That is leaving about 100,000 people behind. We're talking about folks between 100 and 133% of poverty that most likely aren't buying health insurance, because that doesn't leave a lot of disposable income if you're at 130% of poverty. And doing this would lower costs for everybody, because it would lower, it would shrink our risk pool in the state. You know, we need to let people who are also, you know, income restricted be able to buy into Badger Care. If you're at 135% of poverty, that's still not a whole lot of money. It still doesn't leave a lot of change left over for you to buy insurance off the private market. And we need to make health insurance as accessible as possible for people. There's been some horror stories that we've just listened to, because these aren't new stories, but you hear new ones every single day. I met a farmer in Cadott who got the letter informing him how much his insurance premiums were going to go up. He was paying under $300, and his increase was going to be over $1,500 per month.
And this is the ACA, his ACA premiums.
He said that he looked at that letter, ripped it up, and will go without health insurance for the year if he has to pay that much, because he can't afford it. And you think about how many other people are in a similar situation. That's just a story that I heard. There are so many more stories, so many people like that. And these stories aren't limited to just Democrats. And that's why people are so frustrated, Democrats, Republicans, independent, or whatever, who are experiencing these healthcare nightmares. And we are going to expand Badger Care in Wisconsin, I guarantee you, if I'm governor in 2027.
You are stealing my thunder, because I have a bunch of healthcare questions for you later in the show. But for now, I am here with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, who's running for Wisconsin governor. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about the attacks and the controversies from the 2022 Senate race. That's going to be spicy. And we're going to get into why governor, why now, and what Mandela's vision is beyond the talking points. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm talking with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. He's running for Wisconsin governor. We talked all about his past, his vision. There's so much more to talk about. But right now, I want to talk about the Senate race in 2022, because it was big. It was hard. It was brutal. And Mandela, you lost it by 27,000 votes, a percentage point. What did that race teach you, and how do you recover and run for this statewide race?
26,000 votes. But it was, you know, but and I'll say, you know, it was every adjective you use, but I would like to also add that it was beautiful in many ways, because it was not expected. People counted me out even in the primary. You know, there was polling, there were, you know, prognosticators who didn't think that we would get that close. And anytime the race comes up, I always want to thank the amazing volunteers that we had. We built a grassroots army. I want to thank the grassroots donors. We had the largest grassroots donor base. And it was a remarkable time because we got to travel the state and hammer home a message that resonated. Now, after that race, you know, obviously, with all the frustration, I joined so many of my supporters that next morning and gave the speech that I didn't want to give, for sure. Didn't want to have to give. But I also got a call from Barack Obama that night, and I've talked about this call time and time again. It was one of the most important calls I've ever gotten. And, you know, obviously had met President Obama during the campaign trail. We had a chance to talk then, and that was a special moment for me. But this call was certainly even more special because, you know, didn't have to do it. And he talked about, you know, the race that he lost for Congress. And he talked about the work that happened in the interim. And that's exactly, you know, what I did. I got back into organizing over these last few years. I've been working with Power to the Polls to increase voter participation all across the state. Specifically addressing the turnout issue in Milwaukee, because since 2012, Milwaukee, like many other places, have seen a significant decline in voter participation. And this has been the case for other, you know, major cities and swing states as well. But we didn't want to sit by and just let that be the case. We want to get to work. We want to target the problem and do something about it. And over the couple Supreme Court races, we saw steady increases in participation. And in 2024, in the presidential race, even though, you know, we unfortunately lost at the top of the ticket, we were able to help Tammy Baldwin propel her to victory. And it was because Milwaukee had the highest voter turnout of the 50 largest cities in the entire country. But Power to the Poll has been active all the way from Kenosha to Green Bay. And Green Bay, we were active in the most recent city council elections and helping to flip the Green Bay City Council for the very first time. And I couldn't tell you when. We were the only outside active entity in that race. So I'm proud of what we've been doing all across Wisconsin, and proud of the voter education that's happened, because increase in voter participation doesn't just happen on its own. It doesn't just happen because you knock on doors. It happens when you have real, open, honest conversations with people over a sustained period of time. It happens when they are equipped with the knowledge and information that they need to make an informed decision at the ballot box. And so we have been doing that, and I am truly, truly, truly focused on ensuring that we have an even higher turnout. Where we may have come up short 26,000 votes, we're going to find 100,000 additional votes to bring on board in November 2026. It was the closest race in state history, and it was the closest challenge to an incumbent in that entire cycle. And we are going to more than make up the difference this November, and it's going to happen through organizing. We're going to focus on field engagement and outreach.
Hey, I'm really glad to hear that, because we need huge turnout all across the state for the midterms. So on all levels, you know, all the way up to your race, all the way down to the base, like school board, everything. People need to stand up and get engaged. But for a minute, I want to go back to the Senate race, because you were hammered with attack ads on crime and police funding, and they were memorable and terrible. Republicans spent millions of dollars painting you as anti-police, and some of that was based on things that you had said or positions that you'd taken in the past. So I want to give you some space to address this directly. What is your actual position on public safety and police funding?
Well, I can tell you, it wasn't even about things I said. It was things that were manipulated. I think about certain clips that were produced and turned into commercials that were not at all either what I said or the spirit of what I said. And I can tell you that I was hit by the biggest anti-democratic single candidate super PAC in the entire country. It wasn't just a few million dollars here or there. It was $29 million of incessant attack ads. And to that point, when people talk about safety, which is probably one of the more frustrating ones for me, because it's one of the reasons when I talk about personal experience, it's one of the reasons why I decided to get involved. I had the great misfortune of losing my very first friend to gun violence in high school. And that was not the only one. This is a tragedy that repeated itself, but understanding also is not isolated to just me. There are so many people who've lost people who've either been closer to them or even more individuals. And the sad reality was that it felt as if there weren't enough policymakers, enough lawmakers, enough public officials who were actually doing everything they could to make communities safer, to prevent this sort of tragedy and to prevent this sort of loss. And I carried this with me. I carried these stories with me. I carried the experiences of our friendships with me before I ever ran for office. And when I put my name on the ballot, it felt as if I was making a promise to them that I would do everything I could so that that would not happen to another person. And we are a long way from that, but it is still my goal to ensure that we do everything that we can do to prevent crime from happening in the first place. A lot of folks, you know, they want to respond to crime, which of course we have to respond to crime. Law enforcement needs the resources they need to be able to do that, but we have to get out in front to make sure that there are opportunities for people so they don't choose crime as their option to get ahead.
That's right. I'm talking with Mandela Barnes. He is the candidate for Wisconsin governor, former lieutenant governor of Wisconsin. When we come back, we're going to talk about why governor? Why not another run at federal office? Or why not wait for that Senate seat? And also what his actual vision is for the people of Wisconsin. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm joined by Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor, now running for governor of Wisconsin. If you missed any part of this show, and you definitely are going to want to be part of this conversation, you can always catch it wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube at Dr. Kristen Lierley. So, Mandela, why governor? You could have used your platform for organizing, run for Congress, Senate in a couple years, or build something in the private sector. Why this seat specifically, and why now when the field is so big with so many capable, diverse folks?
So I did spend my time organizing over the last few years. That's exactly what I've been up to. And I think that the organizing, whether it was for me as a candidate or anybody else, has led to this moment. And there's so much uncertainty. And I will say also, didn't get as close as we got in the last race to just turn around. But I've always been called to the moment. And with the urgency that we are dealing with, we need experience and we need leadership. We need people who are going to be bold in the face of challenges that we have seen and the challenges that are yet to come. During my time in the legislature and my time as lieutenant governor, showing up in some of the most difficult circumstances people have ever experienced, but also not just being anti, you know, the president and all the chaos that he's bringing about, providing a clear vision and leadership for the state whenever I have had the opportunity to do so. So I looked at this race and, you know, I got in a little bit later than folks because I wanted to be sure that it was the right thing to do. And I took some time. I had to make sure that, one, I was ready, but also that we would be able to put together the message and put together the campaign and do the organizing work necessary to be able to build an operation that could be successful. And when I got to a place where I was confident that that could be done, I decided to get in the race, and I'm incredibly encouraged by the support that we've gotten already. The number of folks who stepped up all across Wisconsin, in every corner, in every pocket, who have been there before. Some people are showing up for the first time. Regardless, we are broadening the tent, and we're looking at what we have already built as the foundation for what is to come. And with that in mind, I am confident that we have what it takes to build a winning operation. The challenges, the issues that people are dealing with, they can't wait. We need somebody who's actually ready to go on day one, someone who's actually, you know, been in the room when decisions are being made. And, you know, when the governor saw fit, allowed me to provide some input into that decision making. And that's ultimately what I feel sets me apart. And it's why I feel that the vision for the state of Wisconsin, the opportunity for us to be bold once again, as we have been before. I've talked about so many historic firsts that Wisconsin has been a part of, so many ways that our state has set the standard for the entire country to address and meet the needs of working people. The foundation that gave me opportunity, I want to be sure that every child growing up in every community, every zip code, has at least the same opportunities that I had. We have to fully fund our public schools. We have to do everything we can to close these loopholes that have allowed the wealthiest in our society and out-of-state corporations to show up and take advantage of tax breaks while our small business owners are suffering, while our family farmers are being dealt a bad hand, while working people go to work with uncertainty every single day. As I mentioned, being one of 10 states that has yet to expand Badger Care, we're also in the bottom of the pack when it comes to funding for our university system, which limits opportunities for people to afford to go to college. At the turn of, when the clock struck midnight, all across the country, 18 or 19 different states saw some increase in the minimum wage. Wisconsin has yet to increase our minimum wage. We're still at $7.25. Mm-hmm. We have to respect working people and give voices back to them and allow them to collectively bargain where they work, because you can look at the decline or the attacks on unions that has led to the decline in participation, to the decline in the middle class. And if we don't have a strong middle class, a growing middle class that grows outwards, that lifts people out of poverty, then I find it very difficult to see how we can be competitive as a state in the future. And as I mentioned before, while young people might not see a place for themselves in the rest of this country, Wisconsin has to be the example. We will be the example. If I'm the governor, this will be the greatest state to live, work, and raise a family.
Every time you bring up young people and Gen Z, I see Abe going, yes, our producer, Gen Z. Middle school music teacher. He's like, yes, you're talking my language. Now, here's something that you've been criticized by some folks for online about past comments on Israel, including a reel that we made together when you were up here in Green Bay, where people have claimed that you are supported by AIPAC. So are you or will you accept the support of AIPAC? And what would you say to these critics?
That's one of the wildest criticisms. Like, AIPAC has never supported me. I can't imagine. I'm pretty high on their list of people that they're fans of by any means, and certainly not going to start taking AIPAC money now. Hadn't been the case before, and it won't be.
And let's talk a little bit more about healthcare, because, you know, that is my pet project. And I think that healthcare is going to be the issue in the upcoming midterms. As the governor of Wisconsin, you've talked about how Wisconsin is one of 10 states that has not accepted Medicaid expansion, but we've also been under attack from our legislature, which is extremely Republican. A lot of anti-abortion rhetoric, a lot of just anti-citizen, anti-people, anti-job, anti-housing. And I mean, if you are trying to make a living here in Wisconsin, it's nearly impossible. So what specifically are you hoping to do when you are elected governor to ensure that every citizen in Wisconsin can get access to health care?
I'd add one, and it's anti-reality. Mm-hmm. You know, people look at fact, and whether it's disingenuous for political reasons, whatever, I think that is disqualifying for anybody to look at current conditions that people are living in and say that things are okay, or try to lay blame to whatever entity that doesn't even exist. If you have an opportunity to vote to improve quality of life of somebody and you decline that opportunity time and time again, you got no place in public office. I don't think you deserve, one, to hold the seat that you hold or to be elevated to an even higher office. And I do, you know, I try my best not to make this about the opponents, but Tom Tiffany voted against extending the ACA, the Affordable Care Act tax credits. That is the reality. Fortunately, it passed. We'll see what happens if it gets signed in law. But what happened is you look at a situation where people have been begging, people have been pleading, people have made their case that they are not going to be able to afford health insurance, and you look them in the eye and you still say no. Well, mm-hmm. What are you doing? What is the purpose of being in office if you can't serve the purpose of the people? It reminds me even of, you know, Donald Trump when he was at the Ford plant and he, you know, flipped off, you know, the guy who dared question him, who challenged him, right?
Yes.
And it wasn't just a middle finger to that one guy. It was a middle finger to the working class of America. If you mm-hmm. are a working class individual, Donald Trump flipped you off as well. If it wasn't with that specific finger, it has been through policy. It has been through these devastating tariffs that are having a debilitating impact on rural Wisconsin specifically. It is having an impact on small business owners in Milwaukee and Green Bay. And this is continuing to happen because folks like Tom Tiffany have aided and abetted the destruction of our economic fabric, has aided and abetted the destabilization of our entire safety apparatus in this country. And this includes healthcare, because if people are spending so much money, so much of their income just to be insured, what other money are they going to have to be able to go support a small business, to go out to eat, to be able to enjoy themselves, to save for retirement? It is absolutely disgusting that this is the case for people, especially young folks who are trying to buy a home. We have these corporate entities that are buying up homes en masse, making it almost impossible for a person to become a first-time homeowner. Mm-hmm. This is the way things have been going for far too long. And sometimes, you know, this has happened regardless of who's in power, regardless of what party. And that's why my focus is less on the party and it's about addressing the issues that people are dealing with. We have to end this madness. We have to end the paycheck-to-paycheck economy that still exists, especially here in Wisconsin, given the fact that we haven't increased our minimum wage. We have to do every possible thing we can to improve quality of life, to include improve healthcare access. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an extremist like Tom Tiffany, who scrubbed his entire website of his abortion policy because it was that extreme.
That's
too extreme for his own party. A person who has ignored the reality of climate change, which, you know, in getting rid of those tax credits for the Affordable Care Act, what that has also done is taken away opportunities for our small businesses who have made the decision to invest in solar, invest in geothermal, invest in wind, so they can lower their energy costs at a time when people are paying higher energy costs than ever before. Tom Tiffany took a vote that is going to make people's, one, energy costs even higher, but also make it that much more difficult for you to have energy independence. And that's a crying shame. And that's why this race is so important. Yeah, I am going to say it's the most important race of our lifetime, and I'm going to say that for every election. Any election that we have an opportunity to cast a ballot is going to be the most important election of our lifetime. And we have to address it with that level of seriousness.
I feel like we say every election is the most important election of our lifetime, but then it really feels like it is. Like they just keep building on each other.
I don't know when that hasn't been the case. We said it in 24, and look at the result. Look at the result. Look at what is happening to our way of life and our quality of life. It has been on a constant decline.
It's true. And when you mentioned climate change and some of the initiatives that had been happening that Tom Tiffany put the brakes on. You chaired Governor Evers' Climate Task Force. You love this topic. What is your plan as governor of Wisconsin for combating climate change?
Well, look, we have a lot of opportunities which are going to be different from a California or Florida. Fully understand that we don't have as much sun. But I look at, as an example, a school district or different schools like Forest Edge Elementary, the state's first net zero school. And they've been able to bring their energy bills down to almost $0. One year, they probably paid a total of $50 in energy costs.
Wow.
Which when you look at school districts across the state that go to referendum, almost every single year, there's a historic number of schools and school districts that are going to referendum just to keep the doors open. If we can help our school buildings lower costs because of energy, I think we should take advantage of those opportunities. We can create better, more safe, more healthy learning environments. But also, we need to look at this from an economic lens in the grand scheme of things, because the majority of energy in Wisconsin is generated through coal. There's no coal to be dug in the hills here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. There is no oil to be drilled here. We do have opportunities, again, with geothermal. We have opportunities with wind and solar. And we also have the job opportunities that come along with that. We're talking about net new jobs for people. And those jobs that have been created through the Affordable Care Act, that created opportunities in clean energy, Tiffany has limited the potential of this entire state. And he has said no to a family, to an individual being able to put food on the table.
I hear you saying that climate change not only makes for a healthier future for all of us, but also gives Wisconsinites jobs in a way that other industries, energy industries, don't do.
You know, there was a time where people bashed open the skulls of whales to get oil for lamps. There was a time, and we look at that and think, oh, that's very absurd. And you think about how far we've gotten from that time to where we are now, the way we think about energy generation certainly has to change as well.
I think we can do that. I'm talking with Mandela Barnes, Wisconsin gubernatorial candidate. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's at stake in this election, why people should believe he can win, and what he needs from Wisconsin voters. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm here with Mandela Barnes. He wants to be Wisconsin's governor. He was the lieutenant governor, but he wants to step it up. So I'm going to ask the tough question that everybody is thinking. Mandela, you lost in 2022. The New York Times did a piece on it, and so did the Milwaukee Courier. Why should we believe you can win this time?
Well, let's not forget about the race I won. Let's not forget about 2018. We act as if I didn't, like as if I was just, I spawned into the office of lieutenant governor. Now, look, elections, people win, people lose. But the fact is, what we have built, the organizing infrastructure that we have, is second to none. And also an experience in this state. Again, having been there through the good times, the bad times, having campaign in some of the most difficult circumstances and come out on either side, I do fully believe that with this race, with the folks who are watching, with your support. And I remember, when I campaigned in 2018, when people said, oh man, can you all win? When we took on the most powerful incumbent governor in the entire country and we were successful, people said, oh, well, can Tony win? Can you and Tony win? Is this a real probability? And my response was, well, we can spend time asking if we are able to win. Mm-hmm. Or we can use that same time to help us win. And ultimately, showing up, not taking a single vote for granted, I introduce myself wherever I go across the state as if a person has never heard of me before, because I don't assume anything. I don't just assume that I'm going to come out of this primary and be the nominee. I am telling you that I'm going to do the hard work to earn the nomination. I'm going to tell you I'm going to work even harder if I get that nomination, and we are going to stop at nothing. We are going to lead with our values. We're going to lead with our vision. We're going to hold the Trump administration accountable. We're going to hold Tom Tiffany accountable. But most importantly, we are going to let people know what we stand for. And I am telling you right now that the day, if I am elected governor, we are going to fully fund our schools. We are going to bring back a new era of, we are going to usher in a new era of opportunity all across Wisconsin. We are going to expand Badger Care. We're going to close those loopholes and allow for the middle class and working class individuals all across Wisconsin to get the support and the fair shot that they deserve. And we are going to get there on November 7th of this year through hard work and organizing in every single community, not just every county, but every single community, not taking a vote for granted, not taking a single individual for granted or their concerns.
From your perspective, what's at stake here?
Everything is at stake. Everything we hold true. Our values as Wisconsinites. How we look at this state, will it be recognizable? Are we going to be a place that falls into the hands of individuals that have been proven only to be sycophants to Donald Trump as he carries on with threats of taking over Greenland, has run afoul of the law without consequence, without any level of accountability? I think we deserve so much more in this state. We're talking about a president who has made us much less safe. You look at the folks who literally beat police officers on January 6th, being pardoned right back out into our communities. So when we have these conversations about safety, when we have these conversations about the Constitution, I want folks to know who's really standing up and espousing those virtues and those values in a real way, in a meaningful way, not just through rhetoric, because the moment could not be more urgent for real leadership to get us out of this mess. Who, at the end of this race, whoever's governor is going to be governor during another 2 years at least, or another 2 years of Donald Trump. I'm not going to say at least another 2 years of Donald Trump. Are we going to have
dangerous?
Are we going to have a governor who stands up for Wisconsinites who have been impacted negatively by this presidency? Or are we going to have a governor who makes things worse for Wisconsinites?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's what that's the thought on everybody's minds. We need to have strong people in the states because so much of the power now lies in the states. This is heavy stuff. Can we talk about something fun?
Yes, please.
I mean, you're a Sagittarius. I'm a Sagittarius. We need a little fun in our conversation here. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
You have to convince somebody to move to your home state, Wisconsin, and you only have three things: a place, a food, and an activity. What do you choose?
Okay, a food. I do not want
to. I love that you went straight to food.
Yeah. I don't want to be cliche in saying cheese curds. So I'm going to say it out loud, but the actual answer is going to be fish fries. And then an activity. An activity.
And a place.
Now, again, birthday neighbor, you know we have both probably biked so much of this state, but the activity would have to be just going outside. And I feel like it's a cop out if I say Devil's Lake, but if I say Devil's Lake, I'm using that as a catch all for all of our state parks.
Oh, they're beautiful. Yeah, totally.
And then a place and then a activity.
Hiking at Devil's Lake? Is that what you're going to say now?
No. I got to say something different. But like the thing is, I can't tell you like how much I've enjoyed being on my bike all across Wisconsin in so many different places. I've biked through communities I probably would have never biked through and stopped at places I may have never stopped at. I remember I was in Crandon this past fall and ended up at a Donald Trump bar somehow. And
all right.
And, you know, went in, ordered my food. And then after I ordered, I looked up. I was like, oh, OK. All right. Well, we're here now. And, you know, you make the best of it. You talk to people and, you know, you enjoy it. And my activity, I truly love being on my bike and just every part of Wisconsin. So our state parks, being on the bike and then a fish fry.
I love seeing our biking infrastructure grow too. And you know, when you end up in that Donald Trump bar, those people are good people. They're Wisconsinites. It's just, you gotta have those conversations. And we gotta close. Former Lieutenant Governor, candidate for Wisconsin Governor Mandela Barnes, thank you for taking the time out of your crazy schedule to hang out with us for a little bit today.
Absolutely, thank you for having me.
You bet. You can find him at MandelaBarnes.com. And if you missed any part of our conversation, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube at Dr. Kristen Lierley. Many thanks to our amazing team. And on behalf of all of us, take care of yourself and each other. We'll see you next week.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.